This is the World Warrior Low Key.
Hey, this is Roto Animal.
This is Christopher Daniels.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA.
Hi, this is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion. And you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
Welcome to the show that brings you all things nostalgia in the world of professional wrestling. It is now time to go beyond the bell.
Tonight we have a chance to say, yeah, you're right. We're too extreme. We're too wild. We're too out of control. We're too full of our own Or we have a chance to say, hey, you, you're wrong. You were right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance. Start the show.
Welcome back, hardcore wrestling fanatics. This is your pro wrestling nostalgia show known as the Extreme Beyond the Bell, which is a part of the hardcore, ultra-violent SNS Radio Network. Sensing a theme here, folks? Well, we open up our textbooks. Ring the bell. Class is in session. This is ECW 101, the history of Extreme Championship Wrestling. The chapter is 1997, a pivotal year in the Extreme Promotions history. I'm your Extreme Ring announcer, Sean Beckerman, back with you to bring you all things retro in wrestling. So get those pens, papers, and notebooks out. Take those extensive hardcore notes as we archive the year 1997 in the land of the extreme.
Vince's curiosity with ECW started at the King of the Ring in Philadelphia when Mabel was crowned King of the Ring and the entire arena is chanting ECW with great passion and anger at Vince McMahon.
Mabel! A series of crushing blows. Look at this.
Driving.
It's 568 pounds. Listen to this.
I'd heard about ECW, and there's this other, you know, wrestling organization, ECW, local in New York, and I kind of dismissed it at first, you know, and it started making a little bit more noise.
Vince is coming back to Philadelphia to do mind games, and obviously we had such momentum at the time, it would behoove his business to acknowledge ECW.
It's this other brand out there, and why not incorporate it? It wasn't, you know, on the same par in terms of value or whatever, but why not incorporate it? Why not try to do something with it and see where it goes? I wouldn't have done the same with WCW, you know, but it was a way to broaden the business.
It's not going to help us to be embraced and endorsed by Vince McMahon. It's going to help us to rebel against Vince McMahon. So we came up with a way that everybody won.
If we have an opportunity, we're going to...
Oh, away just a moment. There's a local wrestling group here in Philadelphia, and obviously trying to make a name for themselves here.
We never were in the WWE locker room. We would basically, during the show, corral in the parking lot, ECW guys. We had ECW guys sprinkled throughout the arena because we didn't know if the WWE guys were going to try and jump us. We didn't know what the deal was. Because it was like, I don't think many people knew, besides Vince McMahon, what was going to happen. And I remember that night jumping that guardrail and a security trying to stop me, and a guy who was a WWE photographer here tried to stop me. He's telling me, no, it's not worth it, man, it's not worth it. And I was instructed by my boss and by a couple other people, anybody gets in your way, get him out of the way. And I just said to the photographer, you know, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do this, you know, and shoved him out of the way, and he broke his shoulder.
Just 1.5 months before, barely legal, ECW partook in its most aggressive and effective promotional campaigns to date.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've just been informed. King, you've got a phone call.
Apparently,
there's a representative of ECW on the phone that would like to speak to you.
You got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth. That's what they're telling me.
For what?
Well, talk to him. Hello?
Unlike Vince McMahon, I don't need to hide behind representatives. This is the owner, operator, and executive producer of Extreme Championship Wrestling, King Paul E. Paul Heyman, dangerously. Call me what you like, but see me next Monday at the Manhattan Center along with all the athletes in Extreme Championship Wrestling who, as uneducated as you may be, you claim never to have heard of.
Oh, wait a minute, Paul E., are you telling me that you're going to accept my little challenge, huh? You're going to bring some of your big-name stars down and visit us superstars next week at the Manhattan Center? Is that what you're telling me? Oh, wait a minute, Paul E., you're going to bring some of the big boys like the Blue Meanie or maybe the Sandman? You ever heard of that, huh? Yeah. Sandman, yeah, or Sabu?
Maybe, just maybe, you'll have a whole different respect for Extreme Championship Wrestling.
I have absolutely zero respect for you, ECW, and all of the misfits and has-beens and no-talent bums that are in ECW. You understand that?
Laura, if you would let the police and the security let us in next week, and as long as the neighborhood watch doesn't have to be informed that you're in the neighborhood, I'll see you face-to-face with the ECW stars alongside of me next week live in the Manhattan Center.
Yeah, come on down. Hey, come on down. You probably won't recognize the place because the Manhattan Center's an arena, not a bingo hall where you used to perform in. You understand
all right,
that?
All right.
No, look out.
Ask him if he remembers.
Well, he's not there anymore. That's enough.
I'm
tired of talking about. I'm trying to watch this man.
Most of its star performers appeared on the February 24th edition of WWF Monday Night Raw.
And we're going to find out just how extreme ECW can be as we come to you with this partisan crowd here, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, ECW fans have jam-packed the Manhattan Center. And what is this? Oh, wait a minute. There's a ring attendant. Oh!
Your challenge has been accepted! ECW!
What did I tell you, McMahon, huh? Go ahead, yeah, go ahead, you bunch of morons.
And the King's answer has been challenged. There's no telling what we're going to see in the house. That's Paulie in there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have all kind of action, no doubt about that.
Well, let's see some of it.
In which I was lucky enough to witness live in person at the Manhattan Center. Heyman, the Eliminators, the BWO, Raven, Taz, Tommy Dreamer, Beulah McGillicuddy, the Dudleys, and the Sandman with Bud and Cigarette in tow, all appeared on the program.
And man, has this show sucked without ECW or what, huh? In the ring right now from Buffalo, New York, from Extreme Championship Wrestling, Mikey Whipwreck! Live on pay-per-view, Sunday night, April 13th, against Sabu from ECW, the human suplex machine. This is Taz!
Taz,
McMahon, are you not embarrassed?
I beg your pardon?
Are you not embarrassed?
Well, listen, you were the one who invited Extreme Championship Wrestling to Monday Night Raw.
Well, you know what?
It was you last week, okay?
Yeah, well, let me just say this. They're on their best behavior tonight. Huh? I was expecting... Hey, Paul E.
Yes, sir.
So this is your Extreme Championship Wrestling right here, huh?
This is
what you're going to try to sell on a pay-per-view?
This is exactly what we're going to sell on pay-per-view.
Right.
Hey, maybe you'd like to get in the ring and show him your fine amateur credentials.
Hey, listen. This guy's so small, he probably buys an ant farm for a second home. Let me tell you something, Paulie.
Coming from a guy that's 5'10", and that was on top of the territory for 76 years, that is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard.
Is that right?
That is exactly right.
The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard was you calling this Extreme Championship Wrestling. Hey, why don't you show us what you guys usually do, huh? Why don't you set some of the fans on fire? Huh? Why don't you set somebody on fire? Yeah. Why don't you hit somebody over the head with a bat wrapped in barbed wire?
Because we'd rather do that and pay-per-view
on
Sunday night, April 13th.
Oh!
Northern Light Suplex!
And a kick out.
And I know, Mr. McMahon, you would have called that move, and I'm sorry for stepping on your play-by-play.
It's no problem. Be my guest. You were invited. You're a guest here.
But I noticed the court
check. I didn't invite him. I didn't invite Paul E. down here to run his fat mouth.
Sabu! Ooh.
Homicidal, suicidal, genocidal, and extreme to the bone. And in the ring now, the human suplex machine Taz with the head and arm Tazplex. Get a close-up of this one, WWF.
And, ooh, all right, what kind of suplex was that?
That's a head and arm Tazplex. It's the one move in wrestling that even Ken Shamrock fears.
Okay. I wouldn't go so far as to say that. In
control. You wouldn't, but I would. The Kata Hajime, the Taz Mission, and Bill Alfonso is carrying the flag of Team Taz.
Here is your winner, Taz!
Taz victorious over Mikey Whipwreck.
Mikey Whipwreck.
You need
to watch the tape that Bruce Richard leaves on your desk.
Well, anything can happen, ladies and gentlemen, here in the World Wrestling Federation, and I think Taz has taken exception to some of your remarks maybe earlier, Ken.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen,
there's going to be a surprise. Yes, indeed. Coming up next, we have a huge surprise right here on Raw.
Is that it?
Heyman even joined McMahon and Jerry Lawler on the commentary booth throughout the course of the ECW dedicated segments. He shed light on the unfamiliar performers in the ring and introduced the WWF or the future WWE universe to the land of the extreme. He took every opportunity he could to give the fans of the sports entertainment product a glimpse of what it's like on the hardcore side of things.
I've never been ashamed of being a professional wrestler, but right now when I look at this crap in the ring, and when I look at an
next
idiot like
you say.
Sitting right
next
there,
word you
now,
say.
Shut up!
Shut
why
up!
Yes, yeah, shut
why
up!
Would you make
when
me
I look
shut
at
up?
You, and when I look at this crap, at the
crap.
ECW stands for extremely crappy wrestling. I'm ashamed to
well,
be associated
why you get
with it.
In?
You understand?
You're not associated
I'm ashamed
with it.
To be associated
and you never
with
will
it.
Be associated oh. with it.
Watch what's
not
going on.
All right,
just chill out. All right, this is the last match we're going to have here that is
thank
extreme
God.
Tonight.
You're welcome,
Devon Dudley, ladies and gentlemen.
Freaking
in
clown.
The overalls, Devon Dudley taking it to Tommy Dreamer and.
Oh, go ahead. Somebody call the match. I've had it with them.
Oh, yeah, right. You sure wouldn't know what to call because you've never been in a wrestling match.
That's
you're
right.
What I'd call a jock sniffer. You like to be around athletes because you're not one yourself. Only thing athletic about you are your stinking feet. You understand that? And all you do is leech onto a bunch of so-called athletes and try to make money off of them.
You know, Waller, being extreme, I have no problem sniffing your jock, but I'm afraid you
oh,
like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, is that right?
Huh? That's right.
Is that right?
Great comeback. Bubba Ray Dudley.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's the Sandman! It's the Sandman! The Sandman is in the Manhattan Center!
The who?
The Sandman! The icon of Extreme Championship Wrestling! And we're about to get hardcore!
And well, it looks like the Sandman is
looks like the Sandman got hardcore, Paulie. What do you think about that idiot now, huh?
I don't think anything about it. I love this. I love Bubba Ray Dudley and Devon Dudley showing America how extreme ECW can be.
Oh. And it's like things are getting a little
bit
out of hand.
Get it over with.
Oh!
Oh, yeah,
Sunday
why don't you
night,
take a hike?
April 13th,
you and all the rest of your
I
bums,
you
take a
much.
Hike.
You know
April
what?
13th,
you know what?
Paper
you have more Tijonas than anybody ever gave you credit for.
Why don't you take a hike? Get out of here.
Hey, guys, please. Yeah, don't. King, sit
hey,
down.
Hey, come on. Hey, wait. No, wait a minute.
In all actuality, ECW superstars or wrestlers, extremists, came off very well in these self-contained matches and angles. Heyman even engaged in an entertaining spat with the King. This resulted in his becoming so aggravated that he just attacked Jerry Lawler. And as a result, he had to be expelled by security.
Representing himself, Jerry the King Lawler. And please welcome, representing Extreme Championship Wrestling, Paul E. Dangerously.
Paul E. Dangerously, and earlier on, ladies and gentlemen, we saw some of the ECW action out here. As a matter of fact, Sabu coming all the way over the top rope, and I don't know whether he was after Taz or after the King or after both of them. I don't know, but he missed. And went right through a table. Nonetheless, Paul Lee representing ECW, and we saw.
All right, gentlemen, the premise here that Mr. Lawler, the question Mr. Lawler is posing is, should ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling, even exist? We will. We had our obligatory coin toss in the locker room area, of course, and Mr. Lawler did win the toss.
Good.
Mr. Dangerously, as you're aware. So Mr. Lawler will start our debate with a 90-second opening.
First of all, let me say this. The question is not whether ECW should exist. My question is whether ECW does exist. Because you see something, Paulie, you are being seen right now by more people at this very minute. Oh, yeah, hey, wait, what's this? Yeah.
Go ahead,
Jake. Keep him out there if you don't mind. You're being seen by more people right now at this very minute than you have ever been seen by in your entire life. Because your little rinky-dink ECW promotion is a bunch of misfits, a bunch of thugs, and a bunch of has-beens that couldn't catch on with any legitimate wrestling organization. Yeah, listen up, guys. I'm talking about all of you.
Easy.
You understand that?
Easy.
So what you idiots did, you all migrated to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and you all got your little pea brains together, and you said, hey, maybe we can't wrestle, so maybe if we can get beat ourselves into oblivion with frying pans over our heads, or maybe let each beat each other up with barbed wire covered baseball bats.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe there's enough morons and brain damaged idiots in the city of Philadelphia to come and see us. And you know what, Paulie? You go down to a bingo hall once a month in Philadelphia and you put on your little charades and you beat each other into oblivion. There's blood running everywhere. And you draw about 1,100 people come to see you do this stuff. 1,100 idiots. But you know what?
Your time is up.
My time's not up. I'm going to let him talk.
He told the truth.
When the World Wrestling Federation goes to Philadelphia, they put 22,000 people into the Core State Spectrum.
That's the Core State Spectrum.
Now, my question for you, McMahon, is if you're trying to...
Shut up!
Just let me stand up your fire.
Keep talking,
that's
King.
All you need to do.
Mr. Lawler, now it is his turn.
The WWF put 22,000 people in the seat. It's not a testament to anything that you've ever accomplished in your whole stinking life. The fact that we earned the respect of every single one of those 1,100 people by bleeding, by sweating, by fighting, by taking each other down and showing these people that we will bust our ass to give them their money's worth. That's what ECW is all about. That's why on Sunday night, April 13th, we're going to give them a pay-per-view. And you're right, Jerry Lawler. You're right. We are very small. Right. You need a high-size arcade dance right now.
No.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Take them back.
Maintain some decorum, please, if we can.
You ought to get down on your hands and knees and thank your lucky stars that you're getting to plug a stinking pay-per-view on Monday Night Raw. Do you understand that? And why Vince McMahon allows it, I'll never know.
Look,
and you're proud of drawing 1,100 people in Philadelphia?
Because we are!
That's 4 million people! There's 1,100 morons that have come to watch paint dry!
You want to shoot?
Yeah, I'm shooting with you, that's right, yeah!
Hey, how you doing at the Seesaws in Louisville, Jerry? Huh? Your own sons! Don't call themselves Waller! Why? Because they're insane to your ass! We earned everything we got! We give these people their money's worth.
You never earned anything in your life. You're a 35-year-old man who still lives with his mother and father.
How old are you?
Huh? If it wasn't for your mom and dad who financed this bunch of crap, you wouldn't be anything. You understand that? Huh? You want to shoot with somebody? Why do you hang around with these guys? You're not an athlete.
I hang around with them because they give the people their money's worth. Because they want to go on pay-per-view and be extreme. We are the Howard Stern of wrestling.
Shove that microphone down his throat, King. Shut him up.
We're hardcore and damn proud of it.
You know why you hang around with them, Paulie? Because you are a little light in the loafers. Why don't you go ahead and admit it right now?
You want to start a war? Go get every single one of you guys, and I'll show you how to start an epic war right here and right now.
Come on.
Hey. Oh, yeah. You brought your whole crew down here. Don't worry. I got
some idiots.
Too, you know? You don't want me to go back there and get my friends, because all my friends...
He's not worth it. He's a piece of crap. He's a piece of crap. He's not worth it.
All right. Hey, shut up. All right, guys, come on out right now. Here we go.
All right, here we go. The King is going to bring some of his friends out here.
Who you got?
You don't worry about it. Come on, guys, right now.
Jerry the King Lawler asking for some of his friends to join him.
Tell you what, Lawler, take your pick. First two punches are for free.
Shut up. I got guys back there. I know they're back. Come on out here. I got friends. Come on.
The King inviting his friends to join him and take on.
Get your ass out of here now, or we're going to get your ass out for you.
Hey, let me tell you something.
You won't tell me
anything. You're not going to do anything, you little punk. These guys might do something. You yourself couldn't do anything. Do you understand that, Paulie? Oh, yeah. You can turn somebody.
Well, I guess maybe the
what
king.
Can you do? What can you do?
The king doesn't have any friends.
What can you do?
The guys in the back couldn't hear it.
Oh, my goodness. What an explosive situation. And I don't want to go. And as well as...
2 weeks later, Heyman and Lawler had an in-ring debate which resulted in Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, the Eliminators, and the Dudleys all entering the ring and threatening their monarch, you could say, their cult leader, antagonist. For the time being, though, everything was going according to plan. The storylines were clicking, the talent roster, though depleted, remained strong and vital, and the promotion had just gotten its biggest exposure to date. Still, just outside of barely legal, the pressure to perform and the stress of constant rumors of talent defections began to wear on the ECW crew. There were even several instances of the wrestlers engaging in senseless, real-life physical altercations with one another. 1 week prior to the show, it was do-or-die time, and Heyman addressed his troops with one of his most emotional locker room speeches. Ever the supreme motivational speaker, Heyman managed to galvanize everyone headed into the upcoming big event. Once again, the Brotherhood was united, the stage was set, and the wayward band of Bingo Hall superstars was ready to make its mark in front of the entire wrestling world. Paul Heyman's pre-pay-per-view speech was legendary, and it was featured in the documentary Beyond the Mat, which any true wrestling fan would have watched and have loved, and you could recite line by line a la Colt Cabana. If you're a true fan of the business, you love this documentary, and Heyman's speech was a huge part of that film.
ECW! ECW!
No wrestling group was more violent than ECW, and no fans scared me more.
Fuck WWF! Fuck ECW! Fuck them all!
You're looking at hardcore champ swinging straight, and we're too damn ugly to be in any cartoon!
ECW!
And this incredibly violent product, it's produced out of this peaceful house in a New York suburb.
ECW Extreme Championship Wrestling, Wrestlepalooza 98, tickets on sale at Ticket... Fuck.
It's time that we play a game of truth or consequences. You got it.
ECW is run like a commune.
We have a better one.
Its spiritual leader and owner, Paul Heyman.
I like it. Truth or consequences.
Pass me that.
Everybody pitches in.
And we would have to find
promos are done downstairs while Mom irons.
Here it's a simple philosophy. Everybody wants the other guy to get better so that they have someone else to work with.
ECW is the Ellis Island of wrestling, where old wrestlers go to be reborn and young wrestlers go to be discovered.
The best part of my job is watching people who never knew that they could, who never dreamt that they could, but wanted it but didn't really believe it. And when they start to believe it, it's better than anything in the world that you can have, because it's like watching your children make it, you know? And it's there.
Let us in! Let us in! Let us in!
You lean back, you hold it for all your worth.
This wasn't an ordinary show for Paul and Terry. It was ECW's first pay-per-view. If it didn't succeed, neither would ECW.
Homes that have availability for this show tonight will pay $20, hopefully, for the privilege to see you guys do what you have done for 3.5 years. Thank Terry Funk for all he's done for this company, for help putting us on the map, for being unselfish in selfish times, for taking the young guys and showing them a better way. Tonight we have a chance to say, yeah, you're right. We're too extreme, we're too wild, we're too out of control, we're too full of our own shit. Or we have a chance to say, hey, Fuck you, you're wrong. Fuck you, we're right. Because you have all made it to the dance. Because believe me, this is the dance. Start the show.
So here we were, the moment that ECW fans had waited for since last year's worth of rumors had started, finally arrived on April 13th, 1997. Even with the usual pre-show atmosphere at the ECW Arena, this was something special. Fans waited outside the ECW Arena during early on that morning. I didn't show up till late in the afternoon, but fans were there early. We're talking early for this pay-per-view. The arena was filled as full as physical space would allow, well beyond anything permitted by city or state fire regulations or laws. The atmosphere was electric. Electric, I tell you. Electric. At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, in the most improbable of locations, the converted bingo hall that staff had painted and fixed up on their own, down the street by a bargain basement store and vacant buildings, the home of a wrestling promotion founded by a downtown storefront pawnbroker, started with little more than hopes and dreams. The impossible dream came true, as barely legal went hot and started the arena, or should we say, started the era of ECW on pay-per-view to the United States audience. ECW was now a national promotion.
Hey.
I said it a billion times. You people are the most no good, inbred, illiterate pieces of garbage I've ever seen. Lawler, it is now time to testify.
The people have come from miles around and plunked their money down just to hear the sweet melodic sound of the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner. And at this time, it is your pleasure to hear me introduce the team that comes to you from the legendary fighting town of Dudleyville, weighing in at a combined weight of 608 pounds, they are led to the ring by their half-brother, Sign Guy Dudley. Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, the undisputed, undefeated heavyweight tag team champions of the world and the best tag team in wrestling today, Bubba Ray and Devon, the Dudley Boys.
The camera work was poor. Production values were minor league, so to speak. Several wrestlers exposed their lack of match psychology, and to some, it may not have lived up to the mystique and prestige or anticipation that one were hoping. Underground reputation was that the promotion was still extreme and the hotbed of true professional wrestling. This amassed over the previous 4 years leading up to this big event. Some say the event didn't live up to it. Some say it did, and it filled every expectation one would have. But on April 13th, there was no denying that the genuine spine-tingling emotion present in the ECW arena was there, and like I mentioned, electric beyond belief. You'd felt as if the roof were about to explode off of that bingo hall. Nor was there any denying the incredible effort that everyone involved put forth that very night. Some say the quality of the action at Barely Legal was not on par with the 1995 so-called glory days of the ECW arena. Nonetheless, it still compared favorably to almost any pay-per-view in recent history of the WWF and WCW at that time. The wrestlers of Michinoku Pro delivered one of the best aerial matches in the history of televised wrestling in the U.S. Can't deny that. Great match.
And now for something a little different. We have imported a six-man tag team matchup from the fastest growing promotion in Japan, Michinoku Pro Wrestling. It's a combination of Japanese wrestling and lucha libre style. It's high flying. It's action packed. Keep your eyes peeled. I'm going to be breathless trying to call all this action.
The Eliminators, Rob Van Dam, Lance Storm, and others turned in commendable aerial showings of their own. After all the hype, Taz versus Sabu was solid when Rick Rude revealed himself, and along with former Shane Douglas triple threat partner Brian Lee, laid waste to the franchise, it provided a worthy payoff of a true solid angle. Most notably, when Terry Funk fittingly won the ECW title and celebrated in the crowd, it was one of the most stirring moments in wrestling history. As Paul Heyman made it very clear in his emotional post-show address to the loyal ECW arena audience, the promotion had finally reached its ultimate goal, and it did so because of the unmatched work ethic of its roster, and the unwavering loyalty of its fans.
I hope you're prepared, brother, because Lord knows I am, and you know I am, and I know you fear me, and you should, Sabu. I'ma bust you up. I'ma bust you up so bad. I'm getting goosebumps, brother. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to hook my hold on you, and I'm going to choke you out. I have no choice, Sabu. I'm going to choke you out. One more thing, Sabu. If I was you, I wouldn't be.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next match is one of our main events. Ladies and gentlemen, Extreme Championship Wrestling presents the grudge match of the century.
Taz won this matchup. He won it clean with the Katahajime, extended a hand to Sabu, and that's what he gets. And if Bill Alfonso thinks he's going to take on Sabu and Van Dam by himself, what the hell is Fonzie doing? That's right, he's Team Taz through and through. He's about to get the beating of his life in the hands of Sabu and Rob Van Dam. Fonzie, don't do it. You may be better off just getting the hell out of there. Regroup and fight another. A Sabu t-shirt. What a double cross. What a lousy, stinking practice. A double cross. Bill Alfonso sold out before the matchup even began. Still fighting.
Millions and millions of Rob Van Dam fans, we're all winners here tonight, because I know you love me, and even those who don't gotta fucking respect me. And now, everyone can respect my entire family.
I don't believe it.
And now that I'm a pay-per-view superstar, and you other wrestling promoters want me, get a hold of my man Fonzie. He knows my schedule and I love to work Mondays.
Why, you money grubbing disloyal piece of... You like Mondays, huh?
Taz, I'll waste the whole year on you. I own you. I own you colors. I own you, Taz. I told you. This is a winner. He's a winner. Fuck you, Ed.
Disgusting display.
The results of the show were the Eliminators defeating ECW Tag Team Champions D-Von and Bubba Ray Dudley for the ECW Tag Team titles. Rob Van Dam took on Lance Storm. Taz defeated Sabu. Who could forget the great Michinoku Pro match? And of course, Terry Funk defeating Raven for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. Stevie Richards involved in the main event in this triple threat match.
2.5 years, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. I was ashamed. I wasn't a man. I had no respect. I had no dignity. I was abused by a man that I idolized. I was a man. But tonight, ECW's first pay-per-view ever, I have the opportunity
to rectify all of that. I have the opportunity to come out of the shell that I've been in, not for the past 2.5 years, but all my life. I have the opportunity to shed the image of the person that got picked last to play kickball. I have the opportunity not to be the high school kid that couldn't get a date to the prom. I no longer want to be the kid and the man that couldn't get a date, that had to go to the movies all by himself. Tonight, I step into the ring. Not as Big Stevie Cool, because tonight is not about Stevie Cool. I'd step into the ring not as the leader of the Blue World Order, because it's not about the Blue World Order. Tonight, I step into the ring with a fighter like the Sandman, and with a legend like Terry Funk. I'm going to experience pain like I've never experienced before. However, tonight is not about pain. Tonight is about Stevie Richards shedding that image and becoming a man. Tonight, Raven, isn't about you. Tonight is about me. And win, lose, or draw, Stevie Richards will leave that ring tonight with his respect.
Terry Funk, Sandman, tonight you're going to dance, but Steve is going to lead.
Tommy Dreamer was witnessing his mentor winning the most coveted prize in the land of the extreme. And at the end of this pay-per-view, we saw Paul Heyman's luck come into play, as due to the amount of voltage and electricity, not just figuratively, but literally, the pay-per-view broadcasting stream was fitting for, you could say, a small arena, fit into that small bingo hall as the pay-per-view drew to a close. The production crew were just an inch away, a millisecond away, of blowing a supposed quote-unquote fuse to where the entire arena went dark just as the pay-per-view went off the air. They blew the power out of the ECW arena. And just as the pay-per-view came to a close, so did the lights, the electricity in the ECW arena. So in a sense, ECW almost blew the arena straight off of that bingo hall. The celebration continued a week later when the news came back that the show had drawn a 0.26 buy rate, thereby marking it a decent financial success. Before long, the festive mood turned sour when WCW attempted another raid on ECW, this time luring away the company's most central star, Raven. Although the promotion surely smarted from the harsh blows of losing the majority of its top-flight workers, over the, you could say, the previous 2 years, Raven's departure left an irreplaceable void in the ECW locker room. He was the most multi-dimensional character in the business. He provided stability to the main event picture, and several of the promotion's key performers played off of him to draw their own heat. Later in the year, in two more, you could say, unfortunate setbacks for the promotion, Stevie Richards and Perry Saturn followed their friend into the ranks of the Time Warner-funded company. The late Louis Spicoli also left the promotion in 1997, largely due to his infamous substance abuse problems, before resurfacing in WCW. As always, Heyman and company forged ahead, and to coincide with their new fashion national success, he expanded ECW's itinerary from its traditional one show per week, you could say, to one with 3 to 4 cards every 7 days. In the process, he moved forward with the plans to hold cards for the first time in such locations as Pittsburgh, New York, Boston, New Jersey, Buffalo, Syracuse, Providence, and even Kentucky. New areas in these locations, new cities for ECW. Throughout 1997, Heyman filled his roster vacancies with several acquisitions. He brought in Bam Bam Bigelow on a full-time basis, while also giving spots to the aforementioned Aldo Montoya, who eventually evolved into Just Incredible. Former WCW Cruiserweight Jerry Lynn, California indie import Spike Dudley, House of Hardcore graduate Chris Chetty, who was Taz's cousin, Balls Mahoney, known in the WWF as Santa Claus previously, and, of course, Al Snow, who was on loan from the World Wrestling Federation. Heyman also successfully played off of the very real possibility that Rob Van Dam would jump ship to WCW. Van Dam had received an offer from Eric Bischoff, which garnered him a ringing chorus of "You sold out" chants every time he wrestled. But he eventually opted to re-up his pre-existing agreement with ECW. Heyman prudently capitalized on the legitimate heat by the Riley Van Dam himself, calling him Mr. Monday Night, and booking him along with Sabu on Monday Night Raw under the tutelage of the avowed ECW tormentor, Jerry the King Lawler.
About to come down the aisle from Battle Creek, Michigan, weighing 234 pounds, Rob Van Dam! And his opponent, from Virginia, weighing 220 pounds, Jeff Hardy!
Give me that microphone, Finkel! Let me tell you something. The last time I saw something look like you, I flushed it. Why don't you go to Vince McMahon and borrow one of his toupees instead of coming in out here and looking like an idiot? Get out of here. Now, all of you morons saw me come out here a few weeks ago and talk a little bit about ECW. Yeah. Extremely crappy wrestling. That's what it stands for. I was the only man that had the guts to tell you idiots the truth about ECW, how much it stinks up until now. Now I've found another man who has actually been in the ECW, and you have come to find out, Rob Van Dam, exactly how low, how cheap, how rotten the ECW is. Is that right?
What you're saying, Jerry Lawler, is complete fact. ECW is nothing but low-budgeted, very low-talented wannabes that cannot hold on to someone with the extreme talents of Rob Van Dam.
That's right, and I'll tell you what, I got so much confidence in this man now that he is in the big time, baby. The World Wrestling Federation, leave those punks behind. This man is going to be—he's going to be called Mr. Monday Night. I guarantee you, Mr. Monday Night. Hey, take care of this little John Bon Jovi wannabe, whatever he is right here. Big deal. They run in a bingo hall and they draw about 1,000 people in Philadelphia. You can draw all. A split-leg moonsault with a beautiful move, and Mr. Monday Night may not be welcome back at ECW, but he was impressive tonight. You think he cares? Hey, Paul Dangerously, eat your heart out. You lost the only piece of talent your little crummy organization has ever had. Take a look at this one more time. Watch the elevation. Wow! Bang! And then look at this, Ross. Mr. Monday Night. Beautiful.
Great flexibility, great athleticism by Mr. Monday Night, who may not be too welcome back in ECW.
He's not going back to ECW. He's in the World Wrestling Federation. He's Mr. Monday Night.
He doesn't have a WWF contract, in my estimation.
Because Van Dam did not endear himself to WWF management, he only made two appearances on the show, but they were both show stealers, and one involved a standout match against a relatively unknown man, unknown superstar, or future superstar, you may have heard of him, one Jeff Hardy. The crossover appearances set the stage for ECW's hottest angle of the summer. At the June 7th ECW Arena show, there, Van Dam, Sabu, and Bill Alfonso were in the midst of beating down Tommy Dreamer when the lights went out. When they came back on, Lawler was standing in the ring, soaking in nuclear heat from the rabid Philadelphia Savage fans.
Jerry King Lawler, here's a man that who went into the enemy territory, so to speak, as we've got some holler from the ECW crew over here. Why would you? Let me ask you this. He's talking about these guys came in here because they wanted to give you a hard way to go on it. Why did you go up to Philadelphia and invade the ECW arena?
Because I wanted to prove a point, Lance, and I think I did prove a point. I told everybody. I've been telling everybody like Vince McMahon. I've been telling you. I've been telling Elliot Pollock from day one that this ECW is a bunch of garbage. You know, they want to talk about how great they are, how extreme they are, how tough they are. Well, I finally took it upon myself, or if it looked like McMahon was going to allow him to come into the World Wrestling Federation, it looked like that Elliot Pollock was going to allow him to come into the USWA. I just wanted to prove a point, and I did prove a point. I went up to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which, believe me, it's not the armpit of the world. I want to tell you what Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is. If you ever wanted to give the world an enema, that's where you'd stick the nozzle, right in Philadelphia. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, I went to Philadelphia, and I went and I found this little bingo hall that they have their wrestling matches in. And yeah, there were about 1,500 moronic idiots, just like these half-brained, hair-lipped idiots over here, that sit there and they scream, and they had frying pans, and they were throwing chairs in the ring, and they were hitting the wrestlers were hitting them, and it was stupid. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I showed up, and I jumped in the ring, and I proved my point. Like I said, I came, I saw, and I conquered. I'd heard all this talk from Tommy Dreamer. I'd heard all this talk from Paul E. When I left the ECW arena, they were all bleeding. They were all laying flat on their back, courtesy of King Jerry Lawler. Now, if Tommy Dreamer wants to come down here and get that point further proven to him, he don't have to wait except until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Because now, Tommy Dreamer, you're in my backyard. You're in Memphis, Tennessee. You're going to be over at the big one. And that's Jerry Lawler territory, pal. And I promise you this. This is a promise. You think you can get Extreme up in the ECW? Well, I'm going to show you where Extreme Wrestling was born, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. And when I get through with you, you're going to really know the meaning of the word Extreme this afternoon.
The King commenced to assist Van Damme, Sabu, and Alfonso in putting the boots to Dreamer, as well as a procession of other ECW wrestlers who attempted to save the fallen Innovator of Violence. Without question, Lawler received one of the loudest reactions in the history of the ECW arena. On the same show, Raven made his final ECW appearance, finally losing to Dreamer. Finally, in the long-storied rivalry between Tommy Dreamer and Raven, Tommy defeated Raven, his arch-nemesis. Also, Taz downed Shane Douglas with the Taz mission to win the ECW television title. A Sandman Dreamer vs. Van Damme Sabu Lawler feud was the highlight of the promotion for the next several months. And long-standing Heyman hater Jim Cornette even made an ECW arena cameo to heap fuel on the promotional allegiances' fire. Meanwhile, a Terry Funk vs. Shane Douglas heavyweight title feud was another hotly contested issue, with a new triple threat formed of Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, and Chris Candido was the source of many entertaining matches and angles. Fresh off of its eventful summer run, the company presented its second pay-per-view, Hardcore Heaven, on August 17th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Although it was decent, the show did not live up to the standards of the debut outing, and by this point, the barely legal momentum had largely evaporated in a sense. In the main event, Shane Douglas defeated Sabu and Terry Funk in a three-way dance to win the ECW title that Sabu had won from Funk the week before at the ECW arena. On the undercard, Tommy Dreamer beat Jerry Lawler, porn star Jenna Jameson, and underground rap sensations The Insane Clown Posse made appearances, and Sonny, aka Tammy Sitch, with fiancé Chris Candido and Jake the Snake Roberts also participated. The card was far from bad, and it helped ECW firm up its pay-per-view footing by drawing another profitable buy rate, but it did usher in what proved to be some trying times for Paul Heyman and company, as they would see as they enter 1998. The most notable event in 1997, of course, was Barely Legal, the first ECW pay-per-view. Also that year, 2.5 years of the most creative character in recent wrestling history ended, like we mentioned, with an EU, as Raven lost a Loser Leaves Town match, or Loser Leaves the Extreme, to Tommy Dreamer at WrestlePalooza. In what was likely to be the single most violent match in ECW history, Sabu pinned Terry Funk in a barbed wire match at August's Born to be Wired pay-per-view, to a point that even Paul Heyman was reported to be sickened by the promo for the show's commercial videotape.
The heavyweight champion of the world, Terry Funk, and challenger Sabu are tied up in the barbed wire and tangled up with one another.
This is the most amazing thing I have ever witnessed in my entire life.
Funk kicks out again. These two men have voluntarily submerged themselves in barbed wire to fight for the ECW World Heavyweight title. It's over! It's over! We have a new ECW Heavyweight Champion of the World!
Having seen the match in person, he wasn't alone. Other people were sickened. A lot of people were sickened by this matchup. Some of the other names seen in ECW during 1997 included Tommy Rich, Tracy Smothers, Chris Chetty, Bam Bam Bigelow, like we mentioned, Louis Spicoli, Big Dick Dudley, Spike Dudley, Balls Mahoney, Tom Pritchard made an appearance, J.C. Ice, and Wolfie D. PG-13, Paul Diamond, and Tommy Rogers. As 1997 came to a close, two pay-per-views were in the books for ECW. But little did Paul Heyman know, as he was riding high on the success of ECW going national, so would the trials and tribulations of now having and owning a national promotion. And 1998 would mark one of the most controversial and pivotal years in the history of Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I skipped Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksAndLines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fakie.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Ashley.
And this is Sandro.
And we're here to make sure that you check out the whole indie show each week on the SNS Radio Network, as both of us, along with our other co-host Randy, cover everything that you need to know on all things indie wrestling.
It's your place for all the most recent indie news and event results, reviews of the latest shows from all the major promotions, and previews for all the upcoming events. We also want your feedback on any indie stuff you may have seen as well.
Plus, you know, you never know, you might even get a few paperclip references now and then. So for all that and much more, listen to the whole indie show every week here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, JJ Sexay here. Are you looking for the latest news in both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts? Well, check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for one of the longest-running newsletters in professional wrestling, over 16 years, and just like Wrestling News Live, it's absolutely free. Join over 27,000 other subscribers, wrestling-online.com.
You will learn to pronounce my name properly.
Wrestling-online.com.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Are you a fan of the SNS Radio Network? Want to keep up with what's going on with all the personalities and radio shows on the SNS Network? Well, let me tell you how. You can check out the Facebook group over at www.facebook.com/groups/SNS Radio Network. On Twitter, follow us at SNS Radio Network. You can follow me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. These are just a few ways to keep up with all the happenings going on the SNS Radio Network. Billy.
Hey, everybody. Have you ever wondered how you can be even more interactive with the SNS Radio Network? Well, just like the WWE, TNA, and everyone else on the planet, we're on Twitter. You can check out the entire network at SNS Radio Network. If you want to hit us up on Unplugged, at SNS Unplugged. You can check out the whole indie show at TWIS_podcast. The Elite Force podcast at EF_podcast. You can check out my show at SNS Get in the Zone. And if you want to contact us individually, you can check out our personal Twitter accounts. I'm at Bronx Father. You can talk some wrestling with Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. You can bark at the Trey Dog at Trey on the Radio. You can swim in the waters with Mark the Shark DiCarlo at S_Tapley, TAPLEY. Harass the Power Andy Knowles about The Miz at ThePower_Rewind. If you want to challenge the Rasputin of sci-fi and gaming and politics, check out MindWipe at MindWipe. You can follow William Walkie Walker at Walker Views. And if you want to talk some old school wrestling, you can hit up Sean Beckerman of Beyond the Bell at Sean Beckerman at SEANBECKERMAN. So don't be shy. Check us out on Twitter and be interactive right here on the SNS Radio Network. Ugh! Stupid bird!
Well, hardcore fanatics, that wraps up another chapter of ECW 101. 1997 is in the books. The first ever ECW pay-per-view, barely legal, in the books. The event so successful, a second pay-per-view took place for the Extreme promotion. But little did Paul Heyman know he was about to embark on the most challenging year in ECW history. Now that ECW is a national promotion, so come the challenges of being such an entity. On our next edition of ECW 101, we archived 1998 and the key moves and losses and the key wins and losses for Heyman's extremists. Thank you once again for joining us. Remember, you can download each and every edition of Beyond the Bell at snsradionetwork.com as well as my official website, ringannouncing.com. Smartphone users can have each edition downloaded directly onto their phones via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio apps. Fans of BTB can reach out to me directly for any comments, opinions, and suggestions for future shows at Sean Beckerman on Twitter, also on Facebook, or email me at beckerman@ringannouncing.com, or SNS fans can go directly to the Beyond the Bell fan page under the Archive Shows section and email me directly. Well, it's time to take it home. We present you the old school theme of the week. Terry Funk won the ECW World title at the very first ECW pay-per-view in 1997, so we feel it's fitting to relive the entrance theme of Terry Funk during this era, being a part of the Extreme promotion. The song is Desperado, sung by the Eagles. A fitting theme for this hardcore icon. I'm your personal ring announcer, Sean Beckerman, signing off. Until next week, stay retro, my friends.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you a hard one. I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you will hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy? She'll beat you if she's in.
Thank you so much.